Hello and welcome to the 100 Podcast. It's Ed and Charlie here with you. Hope you're well. Today we're doing another of our retention specials. Retention deadline day is on the way. We're doing an episode for every single franchise to see which players their men's and women's side should retain. Today we're focusing on the Southern Brave. Another defeat in the final for the women's side. A real down year for the men's side after a fantastic campaign in the first ever season of 100. Now, of course, that men's side with a brand new head coach. Charlie, these are two teams who I think, when we're going to get into this, they're kind of reaping the issues that come with drafting so well in the first place.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic, this, because when you recruit well, you have to pay the price next year because you can only retain a certain amount of players going into the next draft. So what you have to do is deal with the issues of players who you initially recruited for cheaper than their initial value, then wanting to move up the board and get more money. So then you have to work out, how do I fit all these players onto the board? The inevitable answer, of course, is that you have to let go a lot of very good players. The women's side in particular are going to have real issues with this because they have an absolutely stacked squad. But this year, with the new draft coming in, they can only keep four of them. So that is going to be a serious conundrum for them. The men's side have it a little easier because they can keep 10. But even then, they've got a very, very good squad. Keeping just 10 from that squad is going to be a challenge.
And it is a difficult thing to deal with if you are the Southern Brave, because the reason they had that fantastic squad in the first place is because they got real value in the initial draft. You know, players who probably should have been taken earlier fell to them, and they were able to kind of reap all of those benefits early doors. Now they're having to bump so many players up. That just means you know, you're going to have to force some players out. You're going to have to reinvest in those draft slots down the order. You're going to have to remold your team around all the players you weren't paying before, who you now have to pay. So it does get complicated. For the women's side, I mean, this is a really, really difficult situation. We'll get onto that in a bit. Let's start with the men's side. I think in terms of headlines, George Garton, we've had to let go in this situation because so many players need a bump up. To give you an idea of the situation that we're at, we've released Quinton Tacock and Marcus Stoinis and Tim David, all of those overseas players. They have the second overall pick in the draft. So you think maybe you get Quinton Tacock back with that second pick. You can right to match Tim David maybe later on. So you have those options, but you are having to let Marcus Stoinis go in that. And then James Vince and Tom Mills take up the 100K slots. Chris Jordan and Rayhan Ahmed take the 75K slots. We've kept Finn Allen and Jake Linter at 60K. All of these players, Tom Mills was bought by a discount. Jake Linter brought on as a wild card. Rayhan Ahmed was super cheap last year. You cannot imagine they're going to pay him that little when he's in an England T20 squad and had a fantastic test match debut with everything he offers. So having to bump all these players up, and unfortunately, that means that a player like George Garton just kind of has to go.
It's a real shame because I think we're both very fond of George Garton as a player. We had him on the podcast in the first season of 100. Lovely man, a lot of insight and a really deep thinker into the game. However, you can only keep so many players. He was on 75K last year. We've moved Rayhan Ahmed up into that slot because he's absolutely worth it. And Chris Jordan occupies the other 75K slot. And look, we had a debate about this one and it was tricky because we really like what Garton has to offer. But through one reason and another, he hasn't really performed to the best of his potential in the last couple of seasons now. And it's quite difficult to justify paying a player 75K if he isn't performing. And Chris Jordan and Ahmed are performing. So unfortunately, you have to let him go. I don't think he will take 60K because Linter and Allen take up those slots. Any cheaper than that, and it's not worth it for him. He's going to go elsewhere, and rightly so. He's a good player with a lot of potential. He deserves more money. So with regret, he has to go.
We had a very similar conversation about this, actually, with now Welsh Fire analyst Ben Jones, when he was on our podcast in the first season of the 100 before he joined Welsh Fire. And the example we brought up about how the playing field would be levelled would eventually be that the Southern Brave would have to let a player like George Garton go, and that maybe that would be how the Welsh Fire benefit. I doubt that Ben Jones remembers that conversation or is even thinking of following any of the sort of advice we'd given for the Welsh Fire. But it is interesting, and we were mentioned that a couple of years ago. And the thing with George Garton is, look, I think he offers a lot as a T20 player. Obviously, injuries and issues with long COVID, I think, have kind of hurt his stock. And we shouldn't, you know, focus on that too much. I don't think there's a lot of player there. Swings the ball, quick, can operate in some different phases, really good with the bat as well. But with the Southern Brave, you already have Joffre Archer. You already have Tymal Mills at 100K, Chris Jordan at 75K. So you've got three gun seamers there. And if you've got Ray Han and Jake Linter in this side already, assuming everyone's available, you can't fit George Garson in that side. And I think that it's very difficult to let Chris Jordan and Tymal Mills go because they're both exceptional players. You feel like with Jordan in the side, with Ray Han in the side, with Joffre in the side, you have enough with the bat there. Just feels like George Garton's kind of the guy left out. And it's nothing to do with the player, but you can't justify keeping a player who's not going to make you squall on that much money. So he kind of bows out in that regard. Other players who we've let go, Alex Davies, Joe Weatherly, Dan Moriarty, Michael Hogan, some of the other players kind of lower down the string. But as we say, because they've got to force George Garton out here, Charlie, at the very least, they have this gun bowling attack, Archer, Mills, Jordan, Ray Han, Linter, but they now have a real challenge in remoulding their batting side, having let Stoinis de Kock, Davies go. With moving those players up, now the slot's at the bottom where you're going to have to find significant players, and I think that could be an issue for them.
It really could be. It could be potentially fatal if they don't get it right. Look, we're assuming that their first two picks will probably end up being something like de Kock and Tim David in some combination of right to match and or using that second pick. That's probably going to happen, and that makes you feel a lot better instantly. But you can't just have two gun batters and then the rest being also runs in that middle order. It's not going to work like that. It's going to be very difficult. The only batter that we have retained currently is James Vince and Ross Whiteley. And that's not much to go on. And this is an interesting little facet that comes with building your squad. Do you play to your super strength, which in this case is that gun bowling attack, which is by far the best in this competition? Or do you weaken it a little bit in favour of trying to build upon your weakness? Well, you've gone down the route of strengthening your strength, locking that in. We've got our super strength. Let's not lose that. Because remember, that this is the strength that won them the initial title back in 2021. That bowling attack was absolutely brilliant. They beat the best batting team in the final, the Birmingham Phoenix, because their bowling attack was just too good for them. That speaks volumes. This year, you've got Archer coming in as well, assuming he keeps fit and all goes well, and Archer will probably play the majority of his competition. That bowling attack has got even stronger. So I think the logical move here is you back it. But of course, that does come with the issue of how are you going to build a batting unit that functions too.
I think it's interesting. I'd always want to keep that super strength. That's what makes you good. If you have these superstars, keep them. However, it does just cause some issues. I think on the bowling side of things, if you have a bowling super strength, my argument would be that it's much, much more difficult to field a great bowling attack than create a great batting lineup. And I think specifically on the domestic front, there are more quality batters you can bring in on the cheap and maybe in the wild card than there are quality seamers. If you're going to go cheap on a seamer, you're going to be struggling when you get to the later rounds, let alone to free agency. Whereas if you're looking to build a middle order, let's say, just throw some names out there. You've got Vince, Quinton de Kock, the second pick. Let's say Tim David's there, Finn Allen's there, right? And maybe you have Ross Whiteley in the rounds. Maybe in a mock draft you pick up, I don't know, Wayne Madsen, John Simpson, Ollie Pope, I don't know, whatever you want. There are always these breakout batters in the blast. Remember, they'll have that second pick in the wildcard draft. You would think that you could find a breakout batter that they can bring in. So I do think there is a way of moulding this side together, but it does mean you have to trust your evaluations and you have to get it right again. And I think it's an interesting cycle in the 100, a very quick cycle, in fact, that after having all of that great evaluation, you get it for 1 year, you win the title, everyone's injured, and suddenly you're building it again. Bit of a nightmare. But I would say, I think that even though they don't have many premium slots here, I do think you can find batters lower down in the wild card, which ultimately means, you know, you can field something out of all those lower end picks, and you pair that with a great bowling attack. That's wonderful. Whereas with other teams, we'll get onto maybe like Northern Superchargers, who have a really gun batting core, but their bowling is filthy. It's much more difficult to fix that bowling attack than it is to kind of build a batting lineup.
On the whole, I would agree with that. Yeah, I think when you have the depth and breadth of this Southern Brave attack, you don't want to break it up. As it is, we've already lost George Garton, and that's a shame, but it had to happen. Any more than that, and I don't think it's necessarily worth it. So I think this attack makes sense. I think this approach makes complete sense. Whether or not Stephen Fleming agrees, we shall find out. But I would be surprised if he deviates particularly strongly from this.
I'd agree. Other players were returning. Ross Whiteley at 40k. He's been out of form, really struggled in the Big Bash, obviously kind of on the wane. I do think that his skill set and as a left-hander, don't have any of those in the side currently. Just worth keeping that experience in the roster at the very least. Maybe he doesn't play. But again, because you get those two wildcard picks this time round, you keep investing. I think having an experienced head like him is just worth a punt. Also keeping James Fuller at 50k, good season last year. Don't get many contributing all-rounders. He's playing in the SA20. He's not an amazing player, but he's decent. I mean, I think there should be some concern about drop-off there, given that last year was the only year he's been a good T20 player, even an average T20 player in his career. So I do think it's a concern, but given what he potentially offers, I think it's worth it. And then we kept Craig Overton as well. We debated Craig Overton a little bit because we kind of thought, well, we don't have many picks here. Do you want, you know, more opportunities to bring in good batters? But I think it's very difficult to find 100 quality seamers. Craig Overton is a role player. There are things he does quite well. He bowls quite well in general, I think, to those kind of long square boundaries. I think that suits him quite well. Feels like he'd suit the Brave in general. So I think it's worth keeping him around compared to, you know, you're bringing in, I don't know, at that stage of the draft, you're down to your Matt Milne, your Craig Miles. I think he offers more than that. So worth keeping around. So I think the Southern Brave are, they're a really interesting case study here, Charlie. They've got that bowling core. They're going to be able to bring in a couple of premium overseas, but it does mean that their scouts, their analysts, their coaches are going to have to find a couple of diamonds lower down to build this middle order. So how do you feel about the Southern Brave men's side pre-retentions?
I think that if that bowling attack is fit and firing, they all stand a very good chance of being competitive again. The batting lineup is definitely an issue, particularly that middle order. We saw last season it got quite stodgy and it wasn't ideal. If they can recruit some young boundary hitters in that middle order, then they're in really good shape. If they don't, then maybe not ideal for them. But whatever happens, that bowling attack looks very strong and that will cause a lot of teams a lot of problems.
It's all about being a well-run franchise. How do you maintain success over a number of years? I mean, Fleming's done this at CSK. You don't always get to keep that same core always in. You usually have to find one or two different contributors from some weird places every year to maintain that success. It's a good challenge for this franchise after a difficult time last year. Now, I'm going to be frank here. We move on to the women's side. We've kind of talked about this women's draft process a little bit. Part of the reason that we kind of thought it's good is just to have a bit of transparency with this. Just so you know how the players getting selected. There's maybe more of an opportunity for other franchises to bring in a similar level of talent compared to the, you know, high quality franchises. We've talked before, Charlotte Edwards is the most valuable person in the women's 100 because everyone wants to play for her. Now the Southern Brave lose that advantage, basically. They can pick it up later on. All of the best free agents will obviously go there, but they're going to have to lose so many good players. A reminder with how this works, in the women's side, you're allowed to retain four players. It's a bit complicated. You can keep either two overseas or two centrally contracted players. but not to have each and only three maximum there. So you'd have two centrally contested, one overseas, and then a domestic player. And with the amount of quality that the Southern Brave women's side have, it's really difficult. In terms of what we've done, and we'll get onto the debates we've had, we've kept Sophia Dunkley and Amanda Jade Wellington in round three and four. I mean, a leg spinner like Amanda Jade Wellington is just, you know, invaluable. So keeping her is important. Sophia Dunkley is an absolute star. Keep her around. And then round five and six, we've kept Maya Bouchier and Lauren Bell. Obviously, Amanda Jade Wellington, you're overseas. Dunkley and Bell, your central contract players. And Maya Bouchier, your domestic player. Now, this means, Charlie, they are losing a lot of players, but here's the big six they're losing. Danny Wyatt, England opener. Freya Kemp, all-rounder of the future. Anya Shrubsole, one of the greatest players of England's history. Smriti Mandanna, India's opening batter. Talia McGrath, Australia's premier rounder. And Georgia Adams is a really good player for them last year. They've been screwed over by this, right?
Yes. Look, I said in the last episode that Welsh Fire were the team that wanted this draft the most. Now, Southern Brave are one of the teams that wanted this draft the least for the exact reason that you just said. They have to pick between all those players and a lot of them are going to have to go, and a vast majority of them they're going to have to see go elsewhere and play for other clubs. And that is not what they want to see. Picking between four players and making it fit within the parameters of this draft is very, very tough. Purely because of the amount of quality they have. But this comes back to what we said earlier at the top of this episode. Drafts make you pay for being good because you have to redistribute the players with retentions. And I think it's a really great leveler. And I think it's one of the beauties of the draft system.
I struggle with this. I do think the Southern Brave are being screwed over a bit here. It's difficult, isn't it? Because when you build a super side, having it ripped away from you feels harsh. And the fact that there are this many players that fans are identifying with leaving the club, I don't think it's a good look. Obviously, they're going to have opportunities in the draft itself. So they'll have the seventh pick. We presume, at least predict, that that's going to be the fourth pick in the draft, and they'll have the eighth pick in the draft. So maybe you can bring back Danny Wyatt and Freya Kemp, and you're able to keep both of them. That's a possibility. But it does mean you're at danger of losing some of your star players. I mean, look, I think in terms of debates, Danny Wyatt's a really difficult one. It's her versus Sophia Dunkley. Dunkley's the star of the future, absolute gun, keeping around for years. I just feel like you have to go that way. It's difficult with Mandanna and McGrath versus Amanda Jade Wellington, but gun leg spinners are really difficult to find. I will keep Maya Bouchier, obviously, as the best domestic player they have. And then the real battle is between the second centrally contacted player. It's Lauren Bell versus Freya Kemp. Now, this was slightly simplified, this argument, by the fact that Freya Kemp is currently injured. But making that decision between the really young all-rounder who can deliver with bat and ball and the absolute stud seamer, really, really difficult.
Yeah, this was one we debated quite a lot. I think until very recently, before doing this episode, our spreadsheet that tracks our retentions had Lauren Bell / Freya Kemp in there because I couldn't bring myself to delete one of them. It just felt wrong. But we've gone for Bell purely because she's not injured and Kemp might be injured for a little while. But I think if Kemp was fully fit, I'd be leaning towards her personally. I just think the all-round package is too good to miss out on. But Lauren Bell is still a really good retention here. So you're happy either way. This is the problem they have. Like, you lose a good player, but equally you're keeping very good ones. So it's not the end of the world. At least they have such quality that you're almost guaranteed to have a really strong core of four here, no matter what you do. But man, it's not easy, is it? It's the emotional attachment that you have to these players playing for that club. If you're a fan of this club and you have to let them go, it's not easy. And I understand why that's going to upset people. It's a tricky one for sure. And I'm really struggling to rationalize it.
It's really difficult. And I do think this is a rough process for them. Obviously, they'll have the right to match. So as I said, they'll have the fourth pick and I think they'll be the seventh or eighth pick in the draft. Yeah, fourth and seventh in this draft. So that means if you include the right to match within that, they will be able to keep two of, you'd think, Danny Wyatt, Freya Kemp, Shrub Soul, Mandana, McGrath, Adams. You don't know what order they might end up in. You're going to be able to keep two of them, probably. But it's rough. You know, especially Danny Wyatt and Shrub Soul. Freya Kemp's obviously kind of broken through with them. It's just a shame. And yeah, it's going to be really difficult for them. I think, obviously, that let's just say that, and I'm going to make an assumption here, that you're able to retain Freya Kemp with that seventh or eighth pick purely because of the injury and people will be undervaluing her. And you write to match, let's say, Danny Wyatt or Smriti Mandana, then you're going to have to find someone to replace Shrub Soul, find a cheaper overseas batter and an all-rounder for McGrath and Mandana. It's, you know, it's difficult. So, yeah, a bit of a rough outing for the Southern Brave. But to be honest, despite that, I still feel really good about them. You've got one of the best coaches in the women's game, Charlotte Edwards. You've got Dunkley, Boucher, Bell, right to match Kemp, four of the most talented and fun domestic players, you know, in the country. That's great for them. I still think they're in a really strong position. Just think they've kind of been cut down to try and match up a little bit better with the other teams, basically.
Yeah, and I think in the context of making this a competitive competition, I think that is a nice move. And look, a lot of the best T20 franchise teams across the globe have been built on having a really strong domestic core that can grow with the club over years and get better and better, and they can be retained year on year. And those are the players that fans will come to identify with. Those are the players that will ultimately win competitions. And Southern Brave probably have the best in the competition by retaining Dunkley, Bell, Boucher, maybe getting Kemp back as well. You've got, I think, hands down, that best young domestic core going. So they're in a really strong position, even though they've had to lose a hell of a lot of talent. It's a tricky one, but on paper, that is still very exciting for players.
Southern Brave, then, a franchise that enters this off-season with a lot of issues to solve and probably feeling slightly screwed over by the process. The question is, with all the talent they're keeping, can they be that model franchise and win yet another off-season and bring it all back to compete again in 2023 with very strong sides? We'll see. We're going to do a podcast on these retentions for every single team. So keep an eye on your podcast feed and go follow us at Podcast100 on Twitter. All sorts of fun there. If you want to send us any mailbag questions, well, let us know what you think of our retentions. Want to scream at us for not keeping Alex Davies around for the Southern Brave? Feel free. At Podcast100 on Twitter. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you next time.